There now, isn't it nice to have all that Bishop Lenten Appeal stuff behind us? Yes, it is. Little thought for you here this morning. Compacted homily, because I know I chewed up some time talking about the BLA. Many years ago, the Times of London, newspaper of record, sent an inquiry to various intellectuals and thinkers all across the world, inviting submissions to answer one simple question: what's wrong with the world? And from all over the world came replies, all kinds of thinkers, all kinds of famous authors, with lengthy essays describing their philosophy on all that was wrong with the world. But the only reason anyone even remembers that event is because of the response of just one man. His name was G.K. Chesterton. Now, I'm just curious. Raise your hand if you've heard of G.K. Chesterton. Okay, good. He's well known. Just one man made that entire event memorable. And he answered the question in just two words. What's wrong with the world? I am. Sincerely, G.K. Chesterton. Now, what I've discovered, at least anecdotally, is that the better a person is, the more likely they are to answer a question like that the way Chesterton did. In other words, they know their faults and they're humble about themselves. And conversely, the worse a person is, the more likely they are to live their life thinking, this world would be so much better if only everybody was more like me. Case in point, okay? St. John Vianney, patron saint of parish priests, dying on his deathbed. Doctor says to him, you probably won't live out the day. Says in reply, I go before my judgment seat with empty hands. By contrast, Hermann Göring, head of the Nazi Air Force, the Luftwaffe, when told that he would be executed for war crimes, replied, 50 years from today, there will be statues to my honor all across Germany. Now, I ask you, which of those two saw reality better? There's no fault worse than not being able to see your own faults, which explains Jesus' damning indictment in this gospel. You're the salt of the earth. But if salt loses its taste, with what can it be seasoned? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. Now, it's easy to look around you in the world and find many, many examples of salt that's lost its taste. It's easy. You can say the church is salt that's lost its savor. We used to be strong and now we're weak. Or you could say that America is salt that's lost its savor, or the universities, or the schools, or marriage, or the family, or society in general. Salt that's lost its savor. And you want to know what? You might just be right, but those kind of statements don't help anybody. Those kind of statements don't make the world better. There's only one question to ask on that subject that matters whatsoever, and that is this. Am I salt that's lost its flavor? Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you two ways to help you answer that question. But first, a little tiny bit of history. You might find this interesting. Jesus says, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're a city set on a hill. Did you know all three of those images, salt, light, city on a hill, they all refer to one thing. They all refer to one thing. They all refer to the temple in Jerusalem, believe it or not, in Jesus' time. Here's why. Salt. In the Jerusalem temple in Jesus' time, the priests used salt liberally. They used it for all their blessings. Salt was a symbol of purity. Believe it or not, we still use salt in our blessings. There's a pinch of salt in the holy water, believe it or not. Light. In the Jerusalem temple on a feast day, they would break out these enormous candelabra, these temple menorah. And when I say big, I mean you'd need a ladder to climb these things. Imagine a candle the size of a grown man. And they were everywhere. They said that in the feast days at the temple, there were no shadows anywhere. So vast was the light. City on a hill. Do you know what the city on the hill was? It's the city of Jerusalem itself. If you've ever been there, you know it's up on a hill. What's the highest point and the most prominent thing in the whole city? It's the temple, right? So here's Jesus saying, you, my people, you, my followers, you are now the temple. You are, you know what the temple was? It was God's dwelling place on earth. What they were, Jesus is saying to us in this, you are the ones people will look to, my followers, my people, you're the ones people will look to see God's dwelling place on this earth. And if you go bad, not even God has a backup plan. So I told you, I'd tell you two ways for you can check to see whether you're still salty, whether you're still the salt of the earth, and they're this. In Jesus' time, salt was used for two things. Salt was used for two things. It was used to preserve what was perishable, and it was used to destroy what was harmful. So if you had meat, if you had fish, you had no refrigeration back then. How did you preserve it? You put it in salt. Preserve what was perishable. And it also attacked what was harmful. You know the germs, you know the microbes. Salt killed them. Dried them up. So are you still salty? Are you still the salt of the earth? Ask yourself this question. Two questions, rather. Number one, do I preserve that which belongs to God, that which belongs to Christ? Number two, do I threaten that which doesn't? You could use the same image for light, by the way. Because what's light do? Casts its light and illuminates what's beautiful, and it exposes what's ugly. Light does it both. Because, you know, putrid things, smelly things, thrive in the dark, don't they? I'm talking mildew, fungus, spores, thrive in the darkness. And they're killed by the light. Sin thrives in secrecy and darkness, doesn't it? Light kills it. By the way, that's the great power of confession. Because it takes the darkness and it brings it into the light. So are you a follower of Christ? Do you preserve and illuminate what belongs to God? And do you threaten that which is against God? And by threaten, I don't mean you're out there belligerent in somebody's face. I don't mean that. I don't mean that at all, please. If you're a holy soul, your mere existence is going to be a threat to someone who's working for the other team, so to speak. Your mere existence. And you could ask yourself this. I'm sure this is the case for all of you. You probably are already right now taking flack just for trying to be a faithful Christian. Yes or yes? Yes. That's not a bad sign. I would say that if you're not taking flack, you're threatening nobody. You're like salt that's lost its flavor. World War II bomber pilots, they used to have a saying, if you're not hitting flack, you're not over the target. So stay salty, my friends. The Old Testament prophets, they used to say to the Israelite people, don't blend in. God made you to be different. Don't blend in. If you're the same as all the other nations of the world, you're no use to all the other nations of the world. Here's Jesus telling us now, Christians, my people, if you think like the rest of the world, if you talk like the rest of the world, if you act like the rest of the world, you're no good to the rest of the world. You preserve nothing, you season nothing, you threaten nothing, and you're good for nothing. The world is a much worse place where Christians are weak. Why? No salt, no light. What's beautiful is not illuminated. What's evil is not threatened. Good people lose their way when Christians are weak. It's so easy, isn't it? It's so easy to point fault at somebody else. Point fault at somebody else. A little word of advice. Whatever you do, don't take that complaint to God. You won't like his answer. Don't go to God, throw up your arms in desperation and say, hey God, what's wrong with the world? Why aren't things better? Because you know what God's going to say to you in reply? He's going to say, I sent you into the world to make things better. You tell me. You ever heard that phrase, it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness? I love that phrase. Better light one candle than to curse the darkness. Well, how bad is it to curse the darkness when you're supposed to be the candle? That's why conversion of heart and repentance is an ongoing reality. It's why it's so important. And please, never underestimate your value to do good and the harm that can come from your indifference. In the early church, Julius Caesar, Augustus, with all their legions, couldn't destroy the gospel, couldn't do it. Newsflash for you here this morning. No power in the modern world can destroy the gospel either. No Congress, no parliament, no president, no law, no celebrity, no entertainment, no university. No one is powerful enough to destroy the power of the gospel except me. Except you. What's wrong with the world? What's wrong with the world is that I'm not a saint yet. That's my answer. What's yours? Psalm response said, the just man is a light in the darkness. Let's you and I be as well, that they might see your good deeds. Give glory to your heavenly Father. Amen.